Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Cody Frankel and Avery Zaretsky. Boys,
what's up?
Six wins in a row. Overtime thriller. Vinny Trocheck. Who else but Vinny Trocheck? This guy just continues to come through. But let's get your thoughts. You know, you guys were watching it. ESPN cuts away in the last minute. What's up?
Craziest move I've ever seen in my life, dude. I watched the game with my father-in-law, and like we were obviously watching, and I literally thought either he or I hit the remote because I didn't know what happened. And he yelled at me. He was like, "What? Are you? Why would you do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay. I'd willingly put on the Stars pregame." Like, craziest move ever. And then we like started scrambling and started. I don't know if you did this, Avery, but we started like changing channels trying to fucking find it. Like, just nowhere to be found. And then we went back to the Stars game, and then obviously it fucking changed back. But craziest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a glitch. There was just no way that
Avery looked dead.
Yeah, I've been up. I went to bed at 4 a.m. I couldn't close my eyes.
What's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah.
I couldn't close my eyes. I was so hard. Excited.
It was so hard. Like the second that, dude, I just felt my heart thumping when Trocheck hit the winner, like just staring at the fucking ceiling, watching highlights.
Well, it's just one of those things where we kind of forgot how that felt, right? Like,
yeah,
I saw you tweet that, right? We've had it so easy so far. It's just been, we beat the Caps with no problem. The first game,
yeah,
there was a little bit of a sweat at the end, but we took care of business. And this was the first game of the season in terms of the playoffs that was like, oh shit, mm-hmm, we got to sweat this one out. And I listen, the Rangers didn't play their best game, but great teams find ways to win. And I've been saying it all year. This is the team of destiny. And they're just finding ways to win. It doesn't matter. They don't go back and look at the stat sheet and say, oh, we got dominated here, here, and here.
They might, because they'll want to make adjustments.
I'm saying
they don't dwell
back
on
in the game and being scared because they didn't play their best game, looking back into game three. Like, they don't care about that so much. Like, they got it done.
Dude, they got it done that's the exact motto. I mean, they did everything they could. Like, they stayed in the game. You know, obviously they scored first and then they gave up two. And then every time, like, they rose to the challenge. And yes, on the stat sheet, on the possession sheet, on everything, it will say it was all Canes. I bet when Valley comes out with like actuals, it's going to be like 5 point something to like two. Like, Igor won us that game. I mean, that was an all time, like, that might have been arguably the best game I've ever seen from him. I thought he was just making, like, stopping high danger chances. He was all over the ice. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but a couple times he like went 20 feet out of his net. It was like a little wild. You know, he was feeling himself, and I was there for it. And, you know, Freddie Anderson played amazing too. But Igor was unbelievable. And the thing I'm most excited about is we did not waste a vintage Igor game, right?
No.
We won that game.
2022 vibe right there.
Yes, we won that game, and Igor got to celebrate because he deserved that, and the team deserved that. And, you know, they just, good teams find ways to win, right? In not, when you're not dominating and you still find ways to win, like Avery said, like I said, like Johnny said, like all you, like, that's destiny shit. Like, that shit you bring out of like movies. And I
also
love it.
While you're on Igor, Cody, 29 consecutive games allowing three goals or less in the playoffs. Yeah. In the playoffs.
Insane.
And to your point as well, of both of you, good teams find ways to win. The Rangers were not very good at 5-on-5 until overtime. I thought overtime, first overtime, second overtime, you know, sure, the Rangers take two penalties or one, you know, Trouba takes a penalty in the first overtime, Panarin takes one in the second overtime, and we'll get into that. I know there's a fan question about the Panarin penalty, which I actually asked him about in the post game, but they raised their level a bit in overtime. I mean, dude, how many chances did Jack Roslovic have? Holy shit, was he flying,
looked,
right?
He looked great.
Unreal.
Great.
Unreal.
Johnny, before we get into the nitty gritty,
that's when you're gonna do it.
I was just gonna say, I know we want to talk about all that, but we have an ad from our sponsor first. Bet Online. Bet Online is your source for all things sports. MLB, golf for Avery, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available from your favorite teams. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device to get in on the action and bet online. It's where the game starts.
Now Tony sucks at segues. But
I mean, yeah. Dude, when is a good time to segue an ad when we're hyped up? There's no good time. You just got
to
do it.
When it's your turn. Well,
not
to
like
talk.
In the middle of me talking. You know.
Well, to be fair, I was gonna say it like right as I was talking, but then you jumped in. So
okay, true. My bad. We gotta communicate better. But listen, I know that Jacob Trouba was getting torched online last night. It wasn't his best game. Same with Gustafson. You know, Gustafson had so many turnovers. I thought in the D zone, but Trouba again. I want to say he made two really good plays in overtime, created scoring chances for Mika and for Laff right in front. Trouba also had 9 block shots. And another guy I want to bring up, Barclay fucking Goodrow, man. This guy, he is the little things he does. He is another guy who gets torched online by Ranger fans all year long. And in these playoffs, he has been doing his job exactly the way that he needs to. And yeah. I just want to you guys know I'm usually one that leans more
you
toward the positive.
Goodrow.
No, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
And you know, I've really thought while they, you know, those guys do make mistakes, it's not like they're totally useless out there. Also, I really want Avery, I know this will fire you up. I really wanted that to be Capo Caco's moment. You know,
I know you did. Yeah. You wanted it so bad. And
I wanted to score that goal.
And I want to let Avery talk, but the only thing I'll say about Trouba is yes, he didn't have the best game. Some of those penalties you just can't take. You know, you're the captain. 3 is a lot, obviously. And it's, you know, in the playoffs, every single penalty is obviously amplified. Yeah. Can we just talk for a second about where Trouba almost took off not only his head, but
annihilated.
But that was wild.
But here's the thing too. Like if he makes contact with Natchez, that's a suspension.
That's a suspension, and Natchez is going to the hospital. I mean, was like, yeah.
Did you see what happened? So I originally, yeah. No, but I didn't see Trouba on Trouba's way down. He like kicks him in the back. I didn't see
yeah.
that originally.
Yeah, he clipped him with the skate. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that is, yeah. Natchez has to be in some pain there. No, yeah.
Well, he was like, I know. In some pain getting up, and like Trouba just like, he just like got right up and just
that
went up. And
picture.
I was like, dude.
That yeah, picture but, of him with his face in the glass.
Yeah. Just, but Avery, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the third penalty on Trouba wasn't, it looked like a flop, but there's a lot of flopping going around in the playoffs. It's just the nature. Everybody's looking for that extra edge. Everybody's trying to make, like, of course, if you get tapped in the back when you're leaning towards the board, you're just going to go down. That's the way they're playing right now. Everybody's looking to get a power play to put their team ahead in a game. And I really agree with Johnny on Barclay Goodrow. I was actually, I forget what moment there was. He was skating up the right side wall really confidently with the puck. And he just looks like a completely different player in the playoffs. He bangs bodies. He does exactly what a fourth liner is supposed to do in the playoffs. And he's also getting in guys' heads on the ice. It just looks like, you know, at some points he's talking to Natchez, he's talking to Svechnikov, he's getting in their heads, their best players, and he's good at that because he's a veteran, and that's why the Rangers brought him in. And yeah, he might not be the best player in the regular season, but he's extremely effective in the playoffs, and I love having Barclay Goodrow right now. He's doing everything right. Yeah, I really would have liked it to be Capo Caco's moment, but speaking of a guy who needed a moment, Alexi Lafreniere, Cody, you alert to it. In the last podcast,
alert,
you said he
alert?
Was going to get his goal.
Dude, alert's a word. He was he's right. You're just dumb.
Not yeah. alluded?
No, I mean, there. It's both the same thing.
I've never heard of alert before.
But all yeah, right. you
Johnny's education.
You spoke to it on the last podcast about how Alexi needed to get a goal, and he took care of business twice. He almost had the hat trick. I thought he had a phenomenal game. We've been saying that he's been playing great. He just hasn't had the scoring knack, and he finally got it twice.
Dude, I'm beyond happy. I mean, there's – listen, there what we're finding here and what we're seeing here in these playoffs is there's guys who have been getting crap all year long, like Lof from, you know, the haters, whatever, Gaudreau from the haters, Kako. I mean, dude, come on. People were saying it was a make or break year for Lof, and they were saying if he didn't produce, the Rangers were going to trade him. They were literally.
Well, it was. Okay, fine.
But I'm saying, I mean, at the trade deadline, I mean, like, people were talking, you know, like leading up to the trade deadline, I'm saying people were talking about it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Yeah, I disagree.
Maybe it wasn't leading up to the trade deadline, but in the
beginning
December,
of the season, yes, was everybody pre-season. Was like, oh.
In December, I will pull out the receipt, Johnny. I looked at it this morning. There is a text from you saying, yeah, I don't know if like it was December 31st. Don't make me pull it out because I'll send you
pull it out. Yeah.
Okay. Do it. I'll send you it.
I actually like to see it.
I want to see this. Yeah.
I'll send in the group chat.
Do it now. But as you're doing that, I would love to talk about melon hats. You see, Johnny and I are donning the beautiful melon hats. And what's great about melon, let me tell you this, is its durability. They're built to last five times longer than any other hat. They're built for the water. They don't lose shape if they get wet. They're comfortable. I've always talked about how hats feel on my forehead, and these just feel like you're putting a pillow on your forehead. They're absolutely incredible. They got snapbacks in different sizes, you know, for the bigger head guys. They got the XLs, they even got the classic for the smaller head guys like Cody. They got the smaller options, and they also have a fit finder on their website. So if you don't know what size you are, you can go to the website and figure out what size you need, and that website is melon.com. But we have a very special offer. If you go to melon.com/bluecrew and use the code bluecrew at checkout, you receive 30% off. Now, Melon doesn't do this a lot. It's very rare to see a Melon discount because of how good and how nice the quality of their hats are. The code expires in 30 days. Make sure you go to melon.com/bluecrew. 30% off your purchase. Go get your hats now. They are the best in the game.
Cody, you find the text?
No, I got distracted, but I'll look it up right now.
Oh, you got distracted from the one thing you were supposed to do?
Yes. I was, dude, Avery was mesmerizing me talking about his melon hats.
All right. Yeah, because I know how to do a segue.
So let me ask you this, Cody, too. I'm just putting Cody in the hot seat now, but
okay.
You said last night you didn't think Panarin was playing well.
I didn't.
I again, could not disagree more.
That's fine.
I thought Panarin was incredibly effective last night. He made plays happen.
Was he circling in the central zone?
What, with his three assists that he had?
Okay, keep going.
Well, I just thought he made plays. He looked confident. He held on to the puck. He didn't really have a ton of turnovers. Mm-hmm. And I think he was pretty responsible defensively. And, you know, you can talk about the penalty he takes in overtime, but I asked him about it after the game, and he said, you know, they had a 2-on-1. I'll read the exact quote, actually. He said, I asked him how he was feeling being in the box in overtime. This is what Artemi Panarin said. I wasn't really nervous because I was so tired. We have a great PK. They did an unbelievable job. I took a penalty, but I think I had to do that because they had a 2-on-1. I'm very thankful for the penalty killers. Like, if Panarin doesn't take that penalty, that game could be over. Like, to me, not a lazy play. In theory, a smart play, knowing that Carolina to that point had been 0-for-9 on their power play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're taking that risk any day of the week. But I thought Panarin was excellent last night.
Yeah.
And I think he, sorry, go ahead. But no.
No, I was just going to say, I think he finished the game really strong, and I think he played in OT really well.
That one move he made before he took the penalty where he danced. I forgot who it was through, but oh my God.
Yeah, it was great. But when I said this to you, it was the beginning of the third. He just had his first shot on goal like 42 minutes into the game. Yes, he had an assist at the time, but I don't know. I just thought in the first two periods, I thought he wasn't as effective as he could be. In the third period and first overtime and second overtime, I thought he was great. You know, I think being our top goal scorer this year, right, and being the best player on the team, like, to have your first shot 42 minutes into the game, like, I think you got to find ways. That's all I was referring to.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, did he finish the game strong? Absolutely. He was the Panarin we know. He finished with three assists, looked great on the stat sheet, played really well towards the end of the game. But I thought the first half of the game, I just didn't think he was as effective as he could be. And, you know, I think we need him to be in every game. Like the path moving forward, right, does not get easier. And to get through a really, really tough Canes team, I think we're going to need vintage Panarin. I think we're going to need him to do his thing. He's got to get shots on net. So that's all I was alluding to.
All right. Fair enough. So you take it back.
Totally. The second half of the game, I thought he played great. Okay. I was saying, you said it.
Yeah. You said it at the start of the third.
I said it before the Kreider goal. I said it when he just had his first shot on goal at like 42 minutes into the game. I was like, wow, you know, caught me by surprise too. So I don't know. That's just what I was thinking. But should we get into fan questions though?
Unless Avery had a thought.
I was just going to say, I think Panarin's been great. He's got 3 game winning goals, team leading, 7 points in 6 games. He's doing his job. I mean, listen, he's not going to be able to do it every night. They're keying in on him. He's our number one player. They know they have to shut him down, but he is still very effective. And I don't really have any doubts about him. I don't really have any doubts about anybody right now, honestly. I just think that they're playing so sound. Even when they are getting dominated and there's a lot of possession in their zone, they're still keeping a lot of perimeter chances. Like, they're not making it as hard on Igor as they could be.
Dude, like, 2 goals last night are deflections. You know, the other one,
right?
I think Gus is caught sleeping and Gensel creeps down the slot. Like,
you know who looks really good, who looked really good last night?
Will Cooley.
Yeah. How'd you know I was going to say that?
He was fucking awesome.
He looked like, he has 0 points in 6 games, but holy hell, he could have had 3 goals yesterday.
He was awesome.
He was zipping around. He was fucking bodying guys. Loved the edge to his game yesterday. Absolutely loved. Like, he was probably my favorite player of the game.
Agreed. I feel like we might have cut Avery off. Did you have a final thought?
Nope. That was good.
Okay. Let's get into our fan questions brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. So email fellow Ranger fam Brett at breakawaypayments.com or visit their website, www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. Avery just got his new Jordans. But let's get into some fan questions. First one, Stefan Gross, thoughts on the Panarin hook? Did he save the day? Already kind of answered that. Yes, I think he did. But good question, because I think some people would look at that and be like, what a dumb penalty. But in theory,
he does it a lot. If you haven't noticed.
Yeah, he does a slingshot.
Career. Yeah, he kind of likes to just reach around there a little bit when he's trailing a guy. But it definitely looked like it was a sell job. Like, I don't think he hooked him that bad, but you got to sell it.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs, and it's definitely a penalty. And I still think it was the right move.
Mm-hmm. Mike_D92, I'll plug this in after. Have you heard the OT goal call from Sportsnet? Instant classic. I watched it last night. It was sick. And their camera work is incredible too. They do a good job showing the fans, you know, making you feel like you're in the moment. They don't really talk too much. They let the fan noise take over, which I always love. So I'll plug that in right now.
Surrounded. Kreider to the point. Panarin shoots. Blocked by Slavin. Sharp angle shot. The Rangers fans in elation. New York taking a 2-0 series lead.
And Vincent Trocheck has been all around this game, has played more minutes than any forward for the Rangers. And he bashes this one home, and you kind of got the feeling it wasn't going to be a pretty one, but it's no prettier for the Rangers and for Vincent Trocheck. This block shot comes to Zibanejad. He one times that puck en route to the net, and again takes a funny hop, and Trocheck.
JC Merlino, friend of the show. 6-0 start to the playoffs. My question is, what fucking planet am I living on? Let's go, Rangers. On a more serious note, are games 3 or 4 must win in your opinions?
I think one is like one of the two games. You have to find a way to steal a game in Carolina. You can't listen. Do I still feel good about our odds? Right? Like if it is 2-2 and we have two games at home, yes, but why leave it up to chance? Like you have your fucking foot on their throat right now. You need to win a game, at least one.
So, yeah, we talk about the Devil series all the time. Like the Rangers had a chance to just put them away, and you'll hear Devils players and Jack Hughes talk about it all the time. If they lose, if they lose that game in overtime, the series is over. Like this is the time where the Rangers and the team of destiny needs to just put teams away. Don't let them hang around. It's going to be tough in Carolina. We know that it's a tough building to play in, but just don't let them hang around. If you have a lead, put them away.
Yep.
I think you got to find a way to split. And just from a betting perspective, which is interesting, so back to Bet Online. Game one, Carolina's favored. Game two, their odds are even higher. Carolina's favored more. Game three now. What?
What were their odds game one?
I think they were -115 game one, and they were -120, I think, game two.
Yeah, 120.
Or 125. And game three, I saw, last I checked, they were -170. So Vegas continues to just think Carolina's going to do it. So I wanted to point that out. But we know that game three, going back to PNC Arena, it's going to be they threw a lot at us in game two. It's going to be even more in game three.
I feel like
this is the one team that is night and day different home on the road.
I know, but I feel like they gave game two 180%. Like they gave it every single thing they had yesterday. Like literally.
Yeah, they were right there.
They were right there, but like
they were a better team in the first period.
For sure. I thought they were a better team. Like if we're looking at the game,
Majority of the game.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like Rangers know they have something to prove. They know it's going to be tough. Carolina's trying to limit Rangers fans from attending the game. Like I feel like they're going to try and make a statement and just fucking outdo them. I don't know.
The Rangers are saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first 20 is going to be tough. First period is going to be a big challenge. But, you know, to that point, MY Rocky 93, another good friend of the show. How confident are you the Rangers close out the series now that they're up 2-0? This is where, you know, and I'll plug some more clips in here. This is what I asked Trouba about yesterday and Lafreniere about the maturation level of this team. 2 years ago, up 2-0 against Tampa. Tampa comes back, wins 4 straight. Last year, up 2-0 against the Devils. Devils end up taking the series in game 7. This is where you see that you need to learn how to lose, or you need to lose to learn how to win. And, you know, Lafreniere, you know, I'll let his words speak for themselves and Trouba's, but, you know,
For either of you guys, the maturity level of this team feels so different than from not even just from last year, but from 2 years ago as well. Can you talk about just how much this group has grown, and not only on the ice, but off the ice as well, as far as a maturity level goes?
I think just 2 years ago, losing in third round, and last year, obviously what happened, you learn a lot from it. And I think this year we made a good move to get really good players at the deadline, and I think we're a complete team. And you know, from forwards to D to our goalies, both of them, we're really complete. So that helps a lot.
It's kind of for both of you guys, if you don't mind, but you often hear people say you got to lose before you win, and you guys have gone through a lot, you know, over the past couple postseason runs. Can you just talk about the maturation of the group and how much you guys have grown just throughout this year, particularly to where you are now and being in this position?
I mean, I think we don't really like looking back crazy far, especially when you're in a new season, the new team. But I think it's a bit naive to not at least understand or recognize the past couple of years and what happened last year, and then going on the little bit of a run the year before and getting the experience of playing the two game sevens, being able to build the confidence of winning those two game sevens on the road, and then also feeling what we felt last year. I think that all kind of works into each other, to know a little bit more how you're going to feel, what what your body's going to feel like, the emotion, the highs, the lows. I don't know. I feel like we're in a pretty good spot with how we feel mentally and how we prepare. I think that's something we're obviously going to continue to have to work on and do throughout the postseason, and things change quick. I think we know that from past years. But yeah, we're going to know we got to keep raising our level and know desperation and how hard it is to win series. It's something we're going to keep working at.
Thanks, guys.
I didn't get to answer it.
Everything they've gone through in the last 2 years is so important for this situation. And you could talk about teams and how this team's different. They have a different coach. Laviolette's different. It's not Gallant anymore. But those experiences help them right now going into Carolina up 2-0. And listen, is it going to be perfect? Probably not. Because we saw how game 3 and 4 went in Washington. The Rangers were probably not the better team for the majority of those games. But like Cody and Avery have said, the great teams find a way to do it. And if they are able to do that and find one win in these next two games, you will see it for yourselves that this group is truly different. Because everyone else still wants to say, yeah, the Rangers are good, but there's still something that's holding them back, right? Because I still see it everywhere that no one has said, oh, this team's going to do, you know, like outside of New York, it's not being said.
Yeah. And also, like, in parallel, look at the Avs game last night, right? They're kind of in the same boat. They found a way to do it, right? Down 3-0.
I missed that whole game. I just saw overtime, but
I mean, they're a good team. They're a good
team. Yeah, that was just another example of great teams finding ways to win. And man, I would just love nothing more. I mean, obviously you'd love a sweep at this point, but just come back to New York up 3-1.
But also to that, Avery, you know, Carolina is not used to going down 2-0. They did it. It happened to them last year against Florida, and Florida closes it out. Again, you know, those first two games were in Carolina, so Florida had a chance to close it out at home.
Right.
But you don't see this team so dejected often. So I'm curious to see how they respond in that sense as well.
Yeah. And can we also just talk about for a second my X factor for Carolina? This guy's been fucking all over the ice, Seth Jarvis. I fucking knew it. We got to find a way to slow him and Gensel down. We just have to.
I think Pesci's their X factor. He's unbelievable.
He's not playing.
I mean, not Pesci. Natchez.
Natchez is great.
He's good.
No, you're good. You're good. Natchez.
I had a Cody moment.
You're good.
Natchez is unbelievable. I think he's far and away.
I mean, those three, and obviously Aho is making plays too, but they've done a really nice job at stopping Svechnikov, and they need to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one from Joe Marcus 41. Unreal game from Igor. Is there any world where Quick plays game 3 to give him some rest?
0%.
If there's any world, I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah,
because that is not fucking smart at all.
Love Johnny, but both Quick Johnnies, but you know, he's not playing a game.
Fair question to bring up.
Yeah.
But no shot in fucking hell.
That happens.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Okay. This is interesting. I knew this was going to come up. At what point is it not worth Rempe filling a roster spot to not play third period on? This is from Pat Petronsky. I can start this one if you'd like.
I was just going to say, I think Rempe should come out next game. 100%.
I am a Rempe supporter. He had 5 shifts last night, 4 minutes, 3 seconds. I just don't think he's needed in this series particularly.
Yeah.
Let him be the garden factor, right? Like, I think that he brings a little bit
of a point. Juice.
Like, when the Rangers need it, you bring him on the ice, it obviously brings the crowd back, right? And the team loves having him there, and I do too. I think he's a necessary part of this team going forward. My thing is that on the road, he's not going to be that juice's X factor in terms of getting the crowd back. Like, you need to play with your full. You need to play with 12 guys. You can't just play with 11 forwards every night. It just doesn't. It's just not sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, so you're saying Johnny B game?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny B?
I mean, Yeah, I kind of tend to agree as well, right? Like you saw what they did in the third period and OT especially, where they were both kind of going with 12 guys, nine guys, sorry. You know,
yeah, like Stephen Mason only played like 6 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's too valuable. Like the fourth line's playing really well, and you know it's too valuable at this point, right? Like the Canes don't have enforcers. Their enforcers like Tony fucking D'Angelo. Okay, he's trying to fight everybody out here. Get smoked, right? Like we can handle the Canes' chippiness without Rempe, I feel like. And they're such a fast team that Brzezinski will obviously, we've said this all along, like he'll be the guy who, you know, he'd give us a little bit more of an edge than Rempe would in this series. So
I've been very Matt Rempe's gotta stay in, and they're winning games, and you don't change a winning lineup. And part of me still thinks that
Heedle game.
No, I don't see Heedle getting it. No. Yeah, he's but this is the first time where I'm like, I could see why you would take Rempe out, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, do you want to change the mojo? You know, it's tough. It's a tough call. But
right, from a hockey standpoint, yeah, I think he should come out.
Yeah,
from
team
from
vibes.
Team vibes, yeah. Like just if they leave him in, I'm not going to be mad if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's a make or break decision.
Right.
Okay. Next one from Benjamin Eppel. Is Trocheck the best contract in the league?
Yeah, just he might be. He might be.
Just to clarify, Vinny is making
5.625
per year.
Got this
right now. Right now, absolutely. It's hard to argue.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of good value contracts in the league right now, but to argue a guy who had over 80 points making 5.6 million, like, and scoring every single game in the playoffs to date, how can you not? Right,
John Smythe guy right now.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, Rangers wise, for sure. Jeremy Swayman might be tough to argue with,
or Igor.
Yes and no. I don't think Igor was tested so much in the first round. Right.
I mean, sure, but if you end up
not as much as
winning a cup and have to go through the Canes, Florida, and you know, one of the Avs or Dallas, things change. So
for sure. Okay, next one. This is a really good question, actually. Connor Hagerty, who's been better for their line, 96 or 91? My vote is 96. Totally kickstarts 20 and 93 at 5-on-5.
Different. Different, right? Like they're doing two totally different things. Like Roz is setting the pace. He's zipping around. He's making plays, scoring goals, doing all the things. Whereas Wenberg is locking down the opposition's top guys, and he's making plays too, just not scoring plays. So it's very different. In terms of stat sheet, like yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can not say Roz. I think probably all three of us will say Roz if I have to guess, but I think they're both playing phenomenal.
Yeah, this is where the toughest test comes in for games 3 and 4 for our third and fourth lines, mm-hmm. is the mismatches, right? Like they get the last change now. This is when Wenberg and Goodrow have to have their best games, because they're gonna get placed out there with the Svechnikov line. Like they need to make sure they shut it down.
Also, I feel like it wasn't talked about a lot, but Wenberg on the first goal, on Lafreniere's goal, he sneaks behind the Canes D. Trouba tries to hit him with a stretch pass. Wenberg wins the race to the puck, actually gets the puck back to the point, and Gustafsson's shot gets blocked, goes right to Lafreniere, and then you see the guys taking the eyes away from Freddie Anderson. He had no idea where that puck was. Like Wenberg, it's not flashy. It's not necessarily sexy, but it feels like he's never making the wrong decision. He's always doing something positive, and it's – you know, it might not always catch your eye, but I think that went a little bit unnoticed just because of how insane that shot was by Lafreniere in the first goal. You don't like look at the little things that lead to it.
Yeah.
But Trouba with a heads up play from the back end and Wenberg to create that, you know, should be said. It's tough. I think Roslovic has looked great in these first two games. And, you know, we said it a couple episodes ago, two guys that would benefit off the 5-on-5 man-to-man, Roslovic and Kako, two different reasons. Roslovic's speed, Kako's strength. It separates them a little bit in these situations. And you saw Roslovic's speed last night, that 2-on-1 he had in overtime. He picks the puck up off the wall, beats, I think it was Orlov, flies in the zone, 2-on-1. I thought he was going to score that and end it. But you know, both guys have been great. And that's another thing Lafreniere said about getting guys at the deadline. You know, they've been such a big addition to this team to make them more complete. And yeah, great question from Connor. Let's go to Gina.
John, I got to go in 2 minutes. You want to do
one more? Last one. Gina Ocello. And this is a good one to finish on. Unless Avery, you want to stick around for one more. Did this game prove to those labeling the Rangers as underdogs that they will always battle back? I still don't know why they're underdogs. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. I'll tell you why. It's because Vegas is listening to the analytics and listening to the, you know, the bubbles and the red and the blue and all that shit. But like Avery said, like I've said, like Johnny said, like, can't control fate, can't control destiny. Like, you know, in the playoffs, things are different. This team's got grit. This team is electric, depth. Like they got everything. They got gold. They have every recipe everything they need to make the run for the cup and get it done this year. And, you know, if Vegas doesn't want to jump on the bandwagon, like, we don't fucking want them. That's it.
All right. And sorry, Avery, just last thing. We'll end on this. Perry Kunivelis, is Jake Guentzel the greatest Ranger killer since he came into the league?
Avery, I'll let you go first. But
I want to test you guys also. Jake Guentzel's played against the Rangers 30 games in the playoffs in his career. Guess how many goals and assists he has?
30? No, there's no games. Way.
Yeah.
30 playoff games?
Yeah, there's been...
No, there's no way. There's no way.
I think.
There's no way. I'm pretty sure they said yesterday he's played like 8 games. Dude, Guentzel's only been in the league.
That might be regular season, actually. Let me see.
Yeah.
30 is a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 9 games. Yeah. Sorry, that was the regular season.
All right. Yeah.
He's probably got like 9 goals, 9 assists.
He's probably got like 15 points. Like, I'm going to say 8 goals and like 7 assists, 6 assists, 14, 15 points.
10 goals, 3 assists in 9 games.
Yeah. He's insane. A beast. That's yeah. Insane. He's a beast.
He's had 2 games without a goal, and he's had 3 multi-goal games.
Yeah. He's nasty.
Yeah, he's an electrifying player in the playoffs and somebody you don't really want to play against, but you have to. Yeah. And I think that up until last night, the Rangers had done a good job at keeping him away. Yeah, but
he was quiet in game 1.
Yeah.
But so I know Cody's got to hop. I'll be in Carolina for games 3 and 4. You guys doing any watch parties?
It's still up in the air, but I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Cody, right. Set it off.
LFGR, baby.
Oh, I was going to say one more thing.
Do it. Quick. Hurry up.
IamBlueYork.com. We got our merch. Make sure you go to the Blue Crew tab. It's great stuff. Sweatshirt, crew neck. Go get it.
Cody, do it again.
LFGR, baby.